Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with John Flavel's The Mystery of Providence. And last time we started an overall large section of the book called The Evidence of Providence. And the first chapter in that is called The Work of Providence for the Saints. And we started that last time. And he went through some introductory remarks and then some questions to reasonably think through based on the Bible, that if you answer them, it's hard to deny God's providence. And we stopped at the next question, and we're going to go ahead, Lord willing, and continue with that and finish off this chapter. And I'll go ahead and continue. Mr. Flavel asks the next question here. If all things are governed by the course of nature and force of natural causes, how then comes it to pass that, like a bowl when it strikes another, men are turned out of the way of evil along which they are driving at full speed? He says, good men have been going along the way to their own ruin and did not know it, but Providence has met them in the way and preserved them by strange diversions, the meaning of which they did not understand till the event revealed it. When Paul lay bound at Caesarea, the high priest and chief of the Jews request Festus that he might be brought bound to Jerusalem, having laid wait in the way to kill him. But Festus, though ignorant of the plot, utterly refuses it and chooses rather to go with them to Caesarea and judge him there. By this diversion, their bloody design is frustrated. Acts 25, verses 3 and 4. Posidonius, in the life of Augustine, tells us that the good father, going to teach the people of a certain town, took a guide with him to show him the way. The guide mistook the usual road and unwittingly took a bypath, by which means Augustine escaped ruin by the hands of the bloody Donatists, who, knowing his intention, waylaid him to kill him on the road. And as memorable and wonderful are those rubs and diversions wicked men have met with in the way of perpetrating the evils conceived and intended in their own hearts. Laban and Esau came against Jacob with mischievous purposes, but no sooner are they come near him, but the shackles of restraint are immediately clapped upon them both, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprises. Balaam runs greedily for reward to curse Israel, but meets with an unexpected check at his very outset, and though that did not stop him, he tried every way to do them mischief, yet he still finds himself fettered by an effectual bond of restraint that he can in no way shake off, Numbers 22, verses 25 and 38. Saul, the high priest's bloodhound in the New Testament, breathes out threatenings against the church and goes with a bloody commission toward Damascus to hail the poor flock of Christ to the slaughter, or to bring them there. But when he comes near the place, he meets an unexpected stop on the way, by which the mischief is not only diverted, but he himself is converted to Christ. Acts 9, verses 1 to 4. Who can fail to see the finger of God in these things? Now the next question. If there is not an overruling providence ordering all things for the good of God's people, how comes it to pass that the good and evil which is done to them in this world is accordingly repaid into the bosoms of them that are instrumental therein? How clear is it to every man's observation that the kindnesses and benefits any have done to the Lord's people have been rewarded with full measure into their bosoms? The Egyptian midwives refused to obey Pharaoh's inhuman command and saved the male children of Israel, and for this The Lord dealt with them and built them houses, Exodus 1:21. The Shunammite was hospitable and careful for, or being caring for Elisha, and God recompensed it with the desirable enjoyment of a son, 2 Kings 4, verses 9 and 17. Rahab hid the spies and was exempted from the destruction of Jericho, Hebrews 11:31. Publius, the chief man of the island of Melita, courteously received and lodged Paul after his shipwreck. The Lord speedily repaid him for that kindness and healed his father, who lay sick at that time of a bloody flux and fever, Acts 28, verses 7 and 8. In like manner, we find the evils done to God's people have been repaid by a just retribution to their enemies. Pharaoh and the Egyptians were cruel enemies to God's Israel and designed the ruin of their poor innocent babes, and God repaid it in smiting all the firstborn of Egypt in one night, Exodus 12:29. Haman erected a gallows 50 cubits high for good Mordecai, and God so ordered it that he himself and his 10 sons were hanged on it. And indeed, it was but meet or proper that he should eat the fruit of that tree which he himself had planted, Esther 7, verse 10. Ahithophel plots against David and gives counsel like an oracle how to procure his fall, and that very counsel, like an overcharged gun, recoils upon himself and procures his ruin. Seeing his good counsel rejected, good politically, not morally, it was now easy for him to guess the outcome, and so his own fate, 2 Samuel 17, verse 23. Charles IX most inhumanly made the very canals of Paris flow with Protestant blood, and soon after he died miserably, his blood flowing from all parts of his body. Stephen Gardiner, who burnt so many of God's dear servants to ashes, was himself so scorched up by a terrible inflammation that his very tongue was black and hung out of his mouth, and in dreadful torments he ended his wretched days. Maximinus, that cruel emperor, who set forth his proclamation engraven in brass for the utter abolishing of the Christian religion, was speedily smitten like Herod with a dreadful judgment, swarms of lice preying upon his entrails, and causing such a stench that his physicians could not endure to come near him, and for refusing to do so were slain. Hundreds of like instances might easily be produced to confirm this observation, and who can but see by these things that, verily, there is a God that judgeth in the earth. Yea, so exact have been the retributions of Providence to the enemies of the church, that not only the same persons, but the same members that have been the instruments of mischief have been made the subjects of wrath. The same arm which Jeroboam stretched out to smite the prophet, God smites. The emperor Aurelian, when he was ready to subscribe the edict for the persecution of the Christians, was suddenly cramped in his knuckles that he could not write. Greenhill, in his exposition upon Ezekiel 11:13, tells his hearers that there was one then present in the congregation who was an eyewitness of a woman scoffing at another for purity and holy walking, who had her tongue stricken immediately with the palsy and died of it within 2 days. Henry II of France, in a great rage against a Protestant counselor, committed him to the hands of one of his nobles to be imprisoned, and that with these words, that he would see him burned with his own eyes. But mark the righteous providence of God, within a few days after, the same nobleman, with a lance put into his hands by the king, did at a tilting match run the said king into one of his eyes, from which he died. Yea, Providence has made the very place of sinning the place of punishment. In the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, 1 Kings 21, verse 19. And it was exactly fulfilled, 2 Kings 9, 26. Thus, Tophet is made a burying place for the Jews, till there was no room to bury, and that was the place where they had offered up their sons to Moloch, Jeremiah 7, verses 31 and 32. The story of Nightingale is generally known, which Fox relates in F-O-X-E, that may be Fox's Book of Martyrs, I'm not sure though, how he relates how he fell out of the pulpit and broke his neck while he was abusing that scripture, 1 John 1, verse 10. Not John Fox, but I guess Nightingale. I suppose that's a man. So he fell out of the pulpit and broke his neck while he was abusing the scripture, 1 John 1 through 10. And thus the scriptures are made good by providence. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it shall return upon him, Proverbs 26, verse 27. And with what measure ye meet, M-E-T-E, it shall be measured to you again, Matthew 7, verse 2. If any shall still say that these things may fall out accidentally, and that many thousands of the church's enemies have died in peace, and their end been like other men, we answer with Augustine, quote, if no sin were punished here, no providence would be believed, and if every sin should be punished here, no judgment would be expected, end quote. But that none may think these events to be merely casual and accidental, we shall inquire yet further. Now the next question, he says, if these things are merely accidental, how is it that they square and agree so exactly with the scriptures in all particulars? We read, can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3, verse 3. If two men travel along a road, it is likely they are agreed to go to the same place. Providences and scriptures go all one way, and if they seem at any time to go different or opposite ways, be sure they will meet at the journey's end. There is an agreement between them so to do. Does God miraculously suspend the power of natural causes? Why, this is no accidental thing, but what harmonizes with the word, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Isaiah 43, verse 2. Do natural causes unite and associate themselves for the good of God's people? Why, this is no more than what is contained in the promises, and is but the fulfilling of the scripture. All is yours, for ye are Christ's, 1 Corinthians 3:22, that is, the use, benefit, and service of all the creatures is for you, as your need shall require. Are the most apt and powerful means employed for their ruin frustrated? Who can but see the scriptures fulfilled in and expounded by such providences? See Isaiah 8, verses 8 to 10, Isaiah 54, verses 15 to 17, and expounded by 2 Kings 8, verse 17, etc. Do you see at any time a rub of providence diverting the course of good men from falling into evil, or wicked men from committing evil? How loudly do such providences proclaim the truth and certainty of the scriptures, which tell us that the way of man is not in himself, neither is it in him that walketh to direct his steps, Jeremiah 10:23, and that a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps, Proverbs 16, verse 9. Do you see adequate retributions made to those that injure or befriend the people of God? Why, when you see all the kindness and love they have shown the saints returned with interest into their bosoms, how is it possible but you must see the accomplishment of these scriptures in such providences? But the liberal soul deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things he shall stand, Isaiah 32:8 and 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. And when you see the evils men have done or intended to do to the Lord's people, recoiling upon themselves, he is perfectly blind that does not see the harmony such providences bear with such scriptures as Psalm 7, 14-16, Psalm 9, verse 16, and Psalm 140, verses 11 and 12. Oh, what exact proportions do providences and scriptures hold? Little do men take notice of it. Why did Cyrus, contrary to all rules of state policy, freely dismiss the captives except to fulfill the scripture, Isaiah 45:13? So that it was well observed by one that, quote, as God hath stretched forth out the expansum or firmament over the natural, so he has stretched out his word over the rational world. End quote. And as the creatures on earth are influenced by those heavenly bodies, so are all creatures in the world influenced by the word and do infallibly fulfill it when they design to thwart it. All right, the next question, he says, if these things are contingent, how is it that they fall out so remarkably in the nick of time, which makes them so greatly observable to all that consider them? We find a multitude of providences so timed to a minute that had they occurred just a little sooner or later, they had mattered little in comparison with what now they do. Certainly, it cannot be chance, but counsel that so exactly works in time. Contingencies keep to no rules. How remarkable to this purpose were the tidings brought to Saul, this is in the Old Testament, that the Philistines have invaded the land, 1 Samuel 23:27, just as he was ready to grasp his prey, P-R-E-Y. The angel calls to Abraham and shows him another sacrifice just when his hand was giving the fatal stroke to Isaac, Genesis 22, verses 10 and 11. A well of water is shown to Hagar just when she had left the child as not able to see its death, Genesis 21, verses 16 and 19. Rabshakeh meets with a blasting providence. Here's a rumor that frustrated his design just when ready to make an assault upon Jerusalem, Isaiah 37, verses 7 and 8. So when Haman's plot against the Jews was ripe and all things ready for execution, on that night could not the king sleep, Esther 6, verse 1. When the horns are ready to gore Judah, immediately carpenters are prepared to fray them away, Zechariah 1, verses 18 to 21. How remarkable was the relief of La Rochelle by a shoal of fish that came into the harbor when they were ready to perish with famine, such as they never observed before nor after that time. Mr. Dodd could not go to bed one night, but has a strong impulse to visit, though unseasonably, a neighbor gentleman, and just as he came there, he meets him at his door with a halter in his pocket, just going to hang himself. So him showing up prevented the guy from hanging himself. Dr. Tate and his wife, in the Irish rebellions, were flying through the woods with a suckling child, which was just ready to expire, the mother, going to rest it upon a rock, puts her hand upon a bottle of warm milk by which it was preserved. A good woman from whose mouth I received it, being driven to a great extremity, all supplies failing, was exceedingly plunged into unbelieving doubts and fears, not seeing where supplies should come from, when, lo, in the nick of time, turning over some things in a chest, unexpectedly she lights upon a piece of gold, which supplied her present needs till God opened another door of supply. Well, if these things fall out by accident, how is it they come in the very nick of time so exactly, so that it is become proverbial in Scripture, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, Genesis 22, verse 14. Now lastly, this is the last question, were these things accidental and contingent, how can it be that they should fall out so immediately upon and consonantly to the prayers of the saints, so that in many providences they are able to discern a very clear answer to their prayers and are sure they have the petitions they asked? 1 John 5, verse 15. Now thus the sea divided itself just at the time of Israel's cry to heaven, Exodus 14, verse 10. So signal of a victory is given to Asa immediately at the time of that passionate cry to heaven, help us, O Lord our God, 2 Chronicles 14, verses 11 and 12. Ahithophel goes and hangs himself just at the time of that prayer of distressed David, 2 Samuel 15, verse 31. Haman falls and his plot is broken just at the time of the fast kept by Mordecai and Esther, Esther 4, verse 16. Our own, I guess it's Mr. Speed, in the history of Britain, tells us that Richard I besieged a castle with his army. They offered to surrender if he would save their lives. He refuses and threatens to hang them all. Now, upon this, an arbalester, which I guess is a crossbow man, charged his bow with a square arrow, making first his prayer to God that he would direct the shot and deliver the innocent from oppression. Now, it struck the king himself, from which he died, and they were delivered. Abraham's servant prayed for success, and see how it was answered in Genesis 24, verse 45. Peter was cast into prison, and prayer was made for him by the church, and see the event, Acts 12, verses 5 through 7, and verse 12. I could easily add to these the wonderful examples of the return of prayers, which was observed in Luther and Dr. Winter in Ireland, and many more. But I judge it needless, because most Christians have a stock of experience of their own and are well assured that many of the providences that befall them are and can be no other than the return of their prayers. And now, who can be dissatisfied in this point that wisely considers these things? Must we not conclude that he withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, Job 36, verse 7, and that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. His providences proclaim him to be a God who hears prayer. All right, and that brings us to the end of that of chapter 1, the work of providence in the saints, and brings us up to chapter 2, our birth and upbringing in relation to providence. But we're going to go ahead and stop there for this time, and then, Lord willing, pick up with chapter 2 the next time. But until then, go once again pondering these examples in Scripture and in history, and how God indeed, through his providences, makes things happen according to his own counsels and protects his people from evil in accordance with his will. May the Lord grant us eyes to see and ears to hear these things. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again soon.